I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, John, you've done it again. You dreamt a great idea for a movie.
That's exciting.
And then I said it out loud and it's like, oh, no, it's been done.
Is it Ghostbusters?
It was alien robots come to Earth. So this was, I thought, it was almost an idea. Alien robots come to Earth.
Transformers.
And they start attacking the Earth. Okay. And then people start to realize that they were only attacking like oil companies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like oil and carbon, mm-hmm, to stop climate change. Mm-hmm. Then I woke up.
That's not a bad idea.
But I feel like that's been done. A version of like the aliens come to stop climate change.
If it was a hard comedy and it was just aliens attacking like NIMBYs, that's kind of funny.
That's interesting.
I like it. It could be a Transformers movie too.
Yeah.
And also Transformers. Rise of the woke machines.
Hell yeah.
And we're back. I'm here with Kendra, Hallie, and I want to say Brian.
Hi.
And as always, Sarah in the dark like a Babadook. Anyway, let's get into it. What a weekday. It's 2024 and Joe Biden is hitting the campaign trail focused on Trump's tax cuts for the wealthy to frame the choice for voters on the economy. Trump responded with a message of his own. E. Jean Carroll is a lying bitch. Biden is reportedly planning to propose additional tax increases on corporations and the ultra wealthy at the State of the Union and may pitch those new taxes as a way to fund Social Security benefits. I hate when they do State of the Union spoilers. Some of us are trying to have a thrilling live television experience. Said a Biden advisor to Politico, the polling shows overwhelmingly that people think Biden cares about people like them and Trump does not. And that's going to be the core of this economic attack. America knows Trump doesn't care about them. But unfortunately, polls show that America kind of is into that. America knows it shouldn't settle for him, but America's emotional needs weren't met when America was a child, and now is attracted to instability, because that's all it knows. And sure, America is working on it in therapy. But is it?
America and I have all that in common.
Oh, is that something you're working on in therapy?
Not really.
Who didn't meet your emotional needs?
Actually, all my emotional needs were met. I'm just really needy.
I would say it's probably one or two people, or two of them together. Your parents. I don't know who else was.
I didn't know what we were talking about. I don't know if they listen or not.
They don't, but if they weirdly tuned in this week, I love you guys.
Hey, shout out to Brian's parents,
Scott and Stacey.
It's not your fault.
It's not.
With Trump on track to win the Republican nomination, Biden has increasingly shifted into attack mode, holding a series of rallies in battleground states to warn that democracy is at stake and hammering Trump on abortion. We're about to settle this Delaware style, said Biden, slipping his trusty knuckle dusters into the pocket of his leather biker jacket. He also sent two top White House aides to Delaware to take the helm of his reelection campaign. Well, technically one White House aide and one pissed off German Shepherd. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports aides have been compiling lists of dream surrogates, which includes Taylor Swift. Said one aide, okay, here's what we're thinking. She breaks up with the football guy. We give it a week or so for decency. Then she and President Biden are spotted leaving Le Diplomat together, holding hands. We give it a few days, let the speculation build. Then bam, there she is at the State of the Union wearing Biden's Air Force One jacket, cheering her heart out. Oh, and we say Jill got eaten by sharks or whatever. Having Taylor on your side is powerful, not only for votes, but for protection. Good luck doing another January 6th with the Swifties protecting the Capitol. All you'll find after the fracas are charm bracelets and MAGA bones. I like that one. MAGA bones.
MAGA bones.
MAGA bones. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the chair of the Democratic Governors Association, said that voters face a binary choice, democracy and freedom versus extremism and chaos. And if they get that binary choice wrong on their ballot, Trump will make sure they only have binary choices on every other federal document for the rest of time. Meanwhile, late last week, Trump rolled up his sleeping bag that he keeps in the boiler room of a Manhattan courtroom to avoid needless commutes to testify in the civil case brought against him by E. Jean Carroll. And you know what that means? The SUV writer's room is collectively licking their chops like when someone puts a steaming turkey in front of a hungry cartoon dog. During his very brief testimony, Trump told his counsel, Alina Haba, of Carroll's assault claim, I consider it to be a false accusation. Trump went on to say, I have a no clue. To which Haba replied, no, I Haba, you Trump. As Judge Lewis Kaplan pointed out, Trump was already found liable for the assault at his first trial with Carroll, where she was awarded $5 million. Kaplan advised the jurors, the jury will be instructed to say that regardless of what he says today, the assault did occur and that that is the law. At which point, Trump squeezed his little fist so hard it created a black hole and destroyed the galaxy. The judge's relationship with Trump and his legal counsel is quite frosty. On Friday, the judge admonished Trump and Haba for arriving 10 minutes late to the trial. Kaplan also warned Haba when she continued to talk after he told her to stop, you are on the verge of spending some time in the lockup. Now sit down. Look, talking this way may not be the judge's kink, but I'm discovering it's surely mine.
Oh, Lord.
The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours before issuing their unanimous decision and awarding Carroll $83.3 million, which includes $65 million in punitive damages. I plan to use this money to help all of Trump's victims, said Carroll. They can come by and take out the jet skis and use the water slide whenever they want. My yacht is your yacht, ladies. When asked on Good Morning America this weekend what she plans on doing with the money, Carroll said this.
I'd like to give the money to something Donald Trump hates. If it will cause him pain for me to give money to certain things, that's like? My intent. Well.
And sure, buying Jeffrey Epstein's island to turn it into an artist retreat for lesbian poets over 50 will be complicated, but I stand with her. Dismissing the jury, Judge Kaplan released the jurors from their required anonymity, but warned, my advice to you is that you never disclose that you were on this jury. Continued the judge, no one has ever gotten laid that much. I fear it isn't safe. This would be such a hard choice to make. Do you tell everyone about it at the first party you're invited to, even though an armed oath keeper might eventually show up at your house? Or do you wait for a bigger, better party? Said one juror, get ready with me while I give all of Trump's money to some lady who he would kill if he had the chance. If you were on this jury, you would tell everybody fucking.
No, are you kidding? In a second.
No.
I probably would have told people while I would text you. Like, I know. Yeah, absolutely.
You guys have no sense of self-preservation.
Yeah, we're on record about that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Brian crashes his car into something once a week.
This is very true. I think you would really tell people you were sitting on, not even this jury, like any jury. You would tell
If it was a random murder, no, that's fine. This, I'm telling Donald Trump.
Literally any jury, I am giving anyone who will listen a play-by-play.
That's insane. January 6th happened. You think they're not going to come to your house?
I don't think they're that organized. We saw them.
I don't think that takes organization.
Yeah, you get hit by
the bus. I think Calvin knows who my enemies are. Yeah.
That's really interesting because, like, in all seriousness, I would never disclose that I was on this jury.
And I'm sincerely not kidding. I would tell truly everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to point out, it's probably because we're white. I don't want to call it out. I'm like, well, if we're making a bad decision regarding the legal system, that seems about right. Like, we're stupid.
Yeah, it would be part of my show.
I people with work.
And why do you do that? You've done it for years, and every day I'm like, she's making the wrong decision.
Well, it was never ultimately up to you. You kind of...
That's true.
You were hired, I was here.
Yeah. I was given.
We've been thrown together. Yeah. You know?
Strange bedfellows.
A real question. This amount of money feels more symbolic. Like, she's never going to get this money, right?
Well, that's a different, I don't know how much she's ultimately going to get. And like, it does take a very long time for this to play out. And it does feel a little bit like you're on a jury, you're writing a check with someone else's checkbook.
Why not? Have fun
with it.
Right.
You know, paint the town red.
It just seems like very funny to me that people are like asking her seemingly seriously, like what she's going to do with this money when I don't know that he has like $50 million.
But I think if he has $10 million, she's getting it. Like, it's like whatever amount she has, legally, he's going to get money.
But I don't think the Alex Jones people have gotten anything.
Yeah, they haven't seen a cent.
Well, I think that is because his establishment might have been a house of cards, but that's the New York jury is trying to figure out what money does he have. So I think it's like all will be revealed, and what is revealed, she will be paid.
You have more hope than I do.
The jury was just like, let's spend an hour thinking about like a random number that made it seem like we thought about it.
Yeah. Right. Like, what is that? Like, yeah.
Let's get lunch.
Oh, no. She's definitely old. 65. Yeah. That's the number. Because it's less than that Adam Driver movie.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Trump, who was not in the courtroom when the verdict was read, took to Truth Social to express his dismay, writing, absolutely ridiculous. I fully disagree with both verdicts and will be appealing this whole Biden-directed witch hunt focused on me and the Republican Party. Trump added, and to really spell it out, what I'm saying is, I didn't just lose in court. I was outsmarted and defeated by Biden yet again. For some reason, I think it helps me when people think that. Of course, that's only one of two Trump trials taking place in the borough of Manhattan alone, after a retired judge sent a review of Trump's finances to Judge Arthur Engoron that found a suspicious $48 million loan, financial misstatements, and other issues. Trump and his lawyer attacked the court-appointed monitor, even though this was someone Trump and Attorney General Tish James mutually agreed upon. Trump's lawyer went wide with it, saying, "Further oversight is unwarranted and will only unjustly enrich this monitor as she engages in some Javert-like quest against the defendants." And then it was like, oh, now you're just squarely in our wheelhouse. How does he keep finding these people? Is there some kind of haunted lake in Massapequa that he keeps fishing these lawyers out of? There's no way there are this many weird lawyers in the tri-state area. He's got to be shipping in pallets to them from Miami and Baltimore. Oh, these lawyers, they fell off the back of a truck. That's why they're all dented, but they still work. Javert is, of course, the dogged police inspector in search of Jean Valjean, a desperate man being hunted for stealing a loaf of bread to feed his starving nieces and nephews. Trump is a wealthy fraud being hunted for lying about the value of his real estate holdings to further enrich himself. And if his nieces and nephews were starving, he would do a little imitation of them at a rally. Nikki Haley took the opportunity to comfort Trump over the E. Jean Carroll ruling on Friday, tweeting that Donald Trump wants to be the presumptive Republican nominee, and we're talking about $83 million in damages. We're not talking about fixing the border. We're not talking about tackling inflation. America can do better than Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It's like she wants to go for the jugular, but she won't mention that the damages are tied to Trump being found liable for sexual abuse. She loves to pull out a knife and then just cut off all the buttons on his jacket.
It is really interesting to me that this came out and she didn't immediately go back to the grab him by the pussy clip. It just seems that to me just seems like a immediate.
I think she's very careful and like she's trying to make a political argument because she's tying it back to electability because the Republican Party believes that he's being persecuted and that they don't trust these process. They don't trust the justice system anymore. And so her point is, you don't need to believe the verdict is right or wrong. You don't need to trust it. You don't need to believe he did anything. You can think he's wonderful, but this is a political distraction. It's very much like he committed a sexual assault and he didn't file the right paperwork. Like, that's the gist.
It's not like she's like praising E. Jean Carroll for like her relentless pursuit of justice. You know, it has nothing to do with the actual case.
Haley also came for the RNC for throwing their weight behind Trump before polls had even opened in New Hampshire. Said Haley,
"If you're going to go and basically tell the American people that you're going to go and decide who the nominee is after only two states have voted, I mean, 48 states out there, this is a democracy. The American people want to have their say in who is going to be their nominee. We need to give them that."
Oh, my God. This is a democracy? I feel so embarrassed, said a man trying to stab a Capitol Police officer with a Mike Lindell brand My Shiv that Lindell was selling out of a van next to the Jefferson Memorial. That was a mouthful. Haley campaigning in South Carolina actually seemed pretty pissed at her home state colleagues for endorsing Trump.
"And so the press asked me, well, what'd you think about the fact that your governor in South Carolina came and stood behind, you know, Donald Trump with all the other South Carolina elected officials?" And I said, "I'm sorry, do you mean the one I defeated when I ran for governor? Do you mean the Speaker of the House and those elected officials that I forced to have to show their votes on the record? You're going to sit there and have Lindsey Graham stand up next to you and we're supposed to say, oh, that's what we need to be doing? And I'm just going to let the one on Tim Scott go. That's up to y'all. I'm not going to say anything about it. We have to live with our decisions."
"We have to live with our decisions," said a sheet white Mindy Nose. Both Haley and Biden hit Trump for confusing her with Nancy Pelosi. Here's Nikki Haley talking about it.
"And then we go and we see a few days ago, he goes on another rant about me for a while and is sitting there saying she didn't do anything to get the security to the Capitol on January 6th. Now, y'all know I was nowhere near the Capitol on January 6th. I've never had a job in Washington, D.C., so I wouldn't have anything to do with security. He was clearly confused, right?"
And here's Joe Biden talking about it.
"Have you noticed? He's a little confused these days. He apparently can't tell the difference between Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi."
They're like a modern-day Nichols and May, secretly in love, but they can't admit it.
Do you think if you're ever really in love with someone, you like could hold it in and not admit it?
That's such an important question.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it would be like me being on a jury. I'd be like, ask me how I've been.
Juror number 7. Juror, it says Mr. Semmel.
I'm in love.
Mr. Semmel.
With a murderer.
You're going to roll your eyes. Stop doing it only when the defendant is talking. Make it a little bit more neutral.
So you managed to hide through voir dire, and then you couldn't hide during the trial.
Wait, what?
Never mind. Forget it.
Voir dire?
Voir dire.
Voir dire is the jury selection process.
Oh, I learned a word today.
Oh.
Listeners.
They would know. They would never put you on a jury.
No. Yeah, I can't see you getting there.
No, I'd be like, I have horrible judgment.
I haven't gotten jury duty in a long time.
I was never allowed to do it back home. They always cut me because my dad was a mayor and they were friends with all like the cops and attorneys and shit.
I went in and they didn't pick me. And by the time they didn't pick me out, I kind of got jazzed up. Like I watched the video. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then they just didn't pick me. Maybe next time.
Nikki Haley's really on one now. She's really going for it at the end here. Yeah. I like it. She's leaving it on the field a bit.
She has a tight five and she like it's like I get it. You know, I again, she will never be president, or at least one would hope. But I get why there is momentum behind her. Absolutely. Versus, say, Ron DeSantis, where you just from the beginning it was like, well, this doesn't make any sense and it won't work. But sure, why not?
Yeah. I just wonder. So, like, why did you start doing this in January of 2024 and not January of 2023? Like, what were you waiting for?
They're cowards. They like no one wanted to go up against Trump. So now it's like, well, might as well. I'm already doing this.
That's test every other theory first.
Yeah. And finally, Deep Sea Vision, an ocean exploratory company, announced Saturday that it may have found Amelia Earhart's lost plane. And folks, she's okay. Using an underwater drone, the crew captured sonar images of a plane-shaped object between Australia and Hawaii, about 100 miles from the island where Earhart and her navigator were supposed to refuel. And it's hard to argue with them. You can see clearly in the sonar image, the plane has a bow on its head. Said Deep Sea Vision founder Tony Romeo, all that combined, you'd be hard-pressed to convince me that it's not an airplane and it's not Amelia's plane. And sure, continued Tony Romeo, everyone told me that I should start a chain of fast casual Italian restaurants. It was my destiny in life. But I said, no, I don't care how good my name, Tony Romeo, looks over a cartoon meatball wearing sunglasses. I want to search for airplanes in the ocean. Anyway, my family and I are estranged. What was the question?
As long as like we're not getting into any submarines and going down to try to find it.
You
I'm
know
fine.
We That's will. Fine. You know
Why
that guy's...
wouldn't we go get down there? We got to get down there.
Yeah.
Amelia Earhart's bones are down there.
I think we leave
And this
them
other
there.
Guy.
And some other guy.
Her navigator.
Yeah. The guy they sent to make sure there was a man.
Yeah, who did his job.
Much like the trees, not all oceans are your friends.
Not all oceans are your friends.
What about the trees? They're not our friends?
Trees aren't your friends?
Oh, that's like a whole...
Are you George of the Jungle?
No, that's it's like a saying.
A saying among whom?
Not
all trees are your friends? Oh my God.
Did the White Witch in Narnia say
no.
No, it's like a southern, like, not all the trees are your friends. Like, don't go out into, like, don't interact with forces that you don't know about. No, okay.
I mean, I'm taking your word for it.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely.
That we didn't have that on Jewish Long Island.
Yeah. This is why you all die in horror movies.
Well, you know those aren't real, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's our show. We've done it again. Another one on the books.
No,
I hope by the
it.
Time we record this next week, we'll have Amelia Earhart's bones in hand.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. One for each
leave
of us.
Them be. Please leave them be.
We're not going to leave them be.
No, I'm turning them into jewelry.
We're not leaving Amelia Earhart's bones in there.
Her clavicle.
I wonder if there's some way to DNA test. Like, I wonder if they have like a lock of Amelia Earhart's hair and then we can test it.
Yeah, she
what
like,
do you want to learn from it?
That it's Amelia Earhart.
Oh.
Fair.
The end of a mystery.
Let's test everyone's bones. See if they're a celebrity. In the ocean. Maybe, like, we'll just find a loose skeleton and be like, let's test it. It's like, all right.
They never mentioned the navigator. Did you know that there was
a
navigator?
No, I had no idea there was a navigator.
They never mentioned it.
So dumb
I'm sorry,
fuck.
Did you not see Hilary Swank in the Earhart movie?
I sure didn't, but...
I did not see that
did
one.
Did Hilary have a navigator?
Huh?
Did Hilary have a navigator?
I believe so, yeah.
So what Hilary the fuck is so Swank, impressive about her?
Hilary
I mean, about
Swank
Amelia.
Went through a period where you could best describe her series of films as like the Homework Chronicles. Just like,
yeah.
Like, hey, yeah. Buckle up. This is going to, you have work to do. And that's a Hilary Swank movie.
And then they're playing it in your class.
Yeah. And that's how I got my groove back.
All right. That's our show. Thank you to Kendra, Hallie,
Woo!
Brian, and Silent But Deadly, Sarah Lazarus. See you sluts on Saturday.
Bye.
Already doom scrolling, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for access to your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join our Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free episodes, exclusive content, and a great discussion on Discord. Plus, it's a great way to get involved with Vote Save America, so sign up today at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Brian Semmel is our producer. And Malcolm Whitfield is our associate producer. Hallie Keeper is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed Elshaki are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. On the road, Vendelin von Schroeder is our tour manager. Stephen Cologne is our audio engineer. And Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designers, Jesse McLean and Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And to our digital producers, Zuri Irvin, David Tolles, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroot, for filming and editing video each week so you can.
Just love it or leave it. Showtime.
What was that about?
Dry out our having a meltdown.
Yeah, hey, oh, no. Hey. No, you're not.
We are, though.
Hey, but are you?
A little bit.
Well, this part is going okay. Whatever that is, I apologize, but this seems like it's going to be.
Hey.
We're going to do great. It's going to be great.
Got to sprinkle some salt on you. Wait, that would make you melt at a lower temp. At a higher, that would make you more melty.
Was she a snail? What does that mean?
Well, when you put, I got the temp, you know.
Oh, the bear.
Like ice.
Yeah.
What?